because I have got a thing that's unique and new. To prove it, I'll have the last laugh on you, cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
Time for Shrink Wrap with Robin and Adrian.
Good morning. Hi. What you are about to hear is a fictitious drama, and any resemblance to reality is pure coincidence. Good to see you. How are your holidays?
Well, I've been looking forward to getting together with you. It's always good to be with family, but then there are those moments.
Oh, yes, I can relate. My family had some moments, too.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm going to cut to the chase. Mm. It was really hard to be around my mom. I could sense all the kids were aware this time. Even the baby was distressed.
Oh, well, what happened?
It's your drinking. I realize that we've all been pushing this under the rug, seeing it as an occasional close-to-the-edge type of issue, mm-hmm. but this time, it was really blaring. Mm. Almost like she wanted to make a big deal. Maybe she wanted us just to say enough.
Hmm, interesting. Huh, well, that really sounds tough. So how did you deal with it?
Well, first, I talked to my husband for the 100th time, it seemed. He listened and all, but that could only go so far. I decided to talk with my brothers and then went out for coffee with Dad.
So everybody seemed kind of tuned into it, and there was a lot of concern.
Yeah, right, but it felt weird talking about her, not with her. Mm-hmm. I think my dad may have said something, though, because it's slowed down a bit.
Oh, well, so there was some positive outcome?
Well, maybe. It's at least dampened the fire a bit, but I know it's a problem. It's a serious one. She gets surly, silly, sad, and then just goes to sleep. We all kind of roll our eyes and mop up her messes, make jokes. You know, I just feel like such a wimp.
Ugh, I know. You know, I don't understand. Why aren't we more direct?
Oh, in my family, you know, people would sooner just kind of walk on glass than tell someone that they're upset with each other.
Yeah, I know how that goes. My aunt had us over for New Year's, and I saw how sad she was with my uncle drinking. And so then he decided to go out for more beer, and her face turned scarlet. Oof. And then my cousin says, "Hey, Dad, let me go out for you. It's too cold out there. Relax." And I'm like cringing the whole time.
Yeah.
And then my cousin, he leaves with my grandson, Jake, who's just like about 16. And they return with 3 6-packs. And my aunt is just looking completely down. She's not making eye contact with anyone. But she says nothing. And then my uncle, well, he just pops open one after another until he passed out.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? Just how it goes on and on.
I know. It's really difficult. And then I end up feeling like I'm responsible because I don't do anything to change it, you know? I see it, so I should fix it. And then I found myself upset with my son for allowing my grandson to go with his cousin for the beer. And, you know, I know there's something about alcohol being transmitted intergenerationally. I don't know whether it's through genes or something. I know I saw something on Oprah, but, boy.
You sound so guilty. They're not even your parents.
Mm.
I know. I feel pretty familiar with that way of thinking, though. Last year, I bought my dad a book about how to deal with addicted personality types. I also encouraged him to maybe go to Al-Anon meetings.
What's that?
Well, it's AA for family members.
Mm.
I was hoping it would give him the courage to confront Mom, but he couldn't go through with it.
Ugh.
And then I tried to get the family to agree to maybe do an intervention, maybe with a mediator, but they chickened out. I've just gotten frustrated. I think I gave up.
Yeah, you know, that would be really painful for me. I mean, it's bad enough to watch a distant relative in denial and upsetting everyone. If it was my parents, oh, man, I'd just really be hurting.
Yeah, no kidding. I, I'm beginning to actually feel myself withdrawing. I just don't want to expose the kids to the whole scene. Not only mom's alcoholic behavior, but the room full of avoidance. You know, the elephant that's sitting in the room. I think it gives the kids the idea that the adults just kind of close their eyes to the problems.
Well, that is pretty wise thinking.
I'm realizing this is really, it's really depressing me. Mostly because I feel like her drinking is alienating us, and I can't really do anything about it. I feel hopeless, like I've lost my mother.
Oh, that is really sad. I know, but, you know, I have to say that as intense as this conversation is, talking with you really is beginning to feel inspiring to me. I feel a little bit uplifted somehow.
Well, let's do it again.
Well, maybe it's time for shrink wrap. Okay. Well, thank you, Adrian. I think you get the Shrink Wrap Award of Best Actress, at least so far, 2011. So as we process this, I just want to first point out that this behavior in the family of avoidance and people becoming passive and doing what I guess pop psychology calls enabling is really common in families of alcoholics and substance abusers. And maybe we should talk about what it was like to be the characters that we played. Like, what were we going through as those characters?
Well, it seems like having the opportunity to touch base with someone else who's familiar with how it can feel within a family was really good for both these characters.
Yeah.
Kind of like the beginning of something that could help them move towards confronting the situation.
Right. So that's the positive kernel that came out of our connection. I think as we were beginning to unveil what we had experienced in our families, I think that initially I think there was some feeling of shame and some talk about how everybody, including us, who was watching the alcoholic person, really, really had to recede into the background. With that, we felt, we felt isolated inevitably, and that we really had trouble being more open, and we couldn't really feel effective because the suggestions that we had weren't being followed.
Well, I think the challenge might be the need to be protective, you know, and these characters were both obviously middle-aged people with adult parents who were possibly getting older, with adult children and grandchildren even that were near adults, and it's an awfully tight sandwich situation where you're protecting your parents because you're a kid that perhaps grew up with, you know, those challenges.
Yeah.
But you're also protecting your adult children in a way, too.
Wanting to.
Hoping to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, both characters were becoming aware that by the elephant in the room syndrome, the avoidance, that they were noticing that this was modeling for the new generation that we don't talk about these things. And that is a really critical point because we've been talking in the shrink wraps about how adults actually their way of reacting to one another, they their ability to think about how they're impacting one another, their own selves, how they're being impacted, helps them show children how to mentalize. That is to be able to think about how they're thinking about things. And if you constantly avoid and you model this for the children, then they begin to get the message that it's not good to do anything but stay away from the elephant in the room.
Whatever the problem is.
Yeah. So then they learn how to back off in order to maintain a connection in the family, which is something everybody needs. So the system keeps going on and on. But as you said, the hopeful thing here was that the two friends were beginning to maybe pierce the bubble or get near piercing it because they were giving each other support. And in the end, my character actually felt some inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people can talk with one another, that can be a first step out of this problem.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think oftentimes if it's an issue, whether it's alcohol or whatever the addictive behavior is, if it's been an issue within a family for, you know, years, maybe even a couple of generations,
mm-hmm.
That sense of hopelessness is pretty deeply entrenched.
Yes.
You know, and to be able to find a way to say, you know what? It may stop here now. I'll be the first to take that step is a hugely courageous thing, you know.
Yes.
To try to undertake.
Yeah, and I think that it can be hard to do it all on your own in the isolation that occurs from your shame and your distress being in this kind of family dynamic.
Yeah.
So in this situation, if you can allow yourself to begin talking with someone, a good friend in this situation, it can start to give you the strength to perhaps take the next step to get some support for the family. So if you get support, you may feel inspired to then go back to the family once you have an experience of someone else looking at you and hearing you and actually acknowledging how bad it is for you. You're no longer in the isolation.
Right, right. And then perhaps, I don't know, I can see a person taking those kinds of steps within a family as actually being a bit of a renegade.
Mm,
kind of
mm-hmm.
breaking the pattern and, mm-hmm. and to be quite different from the rest of the family. It's a difficult
yeah.
thing.
That's a really good point. And that might cause somebody to not become that renegade because the family system is going on in denial of all of this. If you step forward and say, I am no longer going to take it, you might fear that you're going to get what's been going on for all of this time, right?
Well, you could end up being the one family member that nobody particularly wants to have around either.
Right. So again, you might be maintaining that avoidance yeah. to maintain the attachment.
Yep. Yep.
But these two gals, as we point out, were beginning to get inspired and juiced. And so if you do get inspired, perhaps by our skit here or your own awareness of the distress going on in your families, what can you do? Well, here in Haines, you can contact SEARCH and Lynn Canal Counseling, and they both have chemical dependency counselors who can help you go through specific programs to develop your ability to move through this and get help for your family. You can also go online. I would recommend going to www.niaaa.nih.gov. And that is the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse, their website. And you can get information, facts about alcoholism, which can further support you in your desire to help move past this pattern. Because help is available. And I know there are a lot of brave, strong people out there who could use the support to help support the family. So I think that wraps it up. I want to thank the listeners for calling our attention to this because somebody asked Tim Shields to have us do a shrink wrap on substance abuse, and here's one. And again, I would really love for people to email me at shrinkwrap.rap@gmail.com, or you can call KHNS or approach myself, Robin Grace, or Tim Shields, and give us your topics and your participation so we can help with whatever you need. Okay, well, thank you so much, Adrienne.
Oh, it's good. Thanks.
It's terrific.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thanks.
Great having you ladies in here, and have a wonderful day.
You too. Take
right.
care.
Dead because I have got a thing that's unique and new to prove that I'll have the last laugh on you. Cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.